anyway, it was just a great time. I got to go up in the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Remember the Leaning Tower? And there's 257 steps up like this. That was pretty awesome. I wasn't even planning to go up there, but one of our friends that we sat at dinner with every night had an extra ticket, and because I said, they said, you want to go up? I said, well, what's in it? They said, steps. I said, well, what do you see? They said, steps. That's why, I guess not. But anyway, a friend of ours, acquaintance we made on the ship, we ate dinner with them every night, came and said, my wife's not going, why don't you go up with me? And so we went up and stood at the top of the Leaning Tower of Pisa and went to Naples and had pizza in Naples. Good stuff, good stuff. And we had some great tour guides. My favorite tour guide was Vito. And Vito spoke four languages. He's Vito's in his calling. He loved he connected with people on the bus. He knew his history. Vito spoke four or five languages. He could just go from one to the other and ask him, why do you learn so many languages? And of course he guides all sorts of people, and he said, to keep my mind sharp. He was probably 65, 70 years old. Very witty. In fact, one of the things he said that I use since I've been home, I thought it was really cute. He says, for my 38th anniversary, I took my wife to China. And they said, wow, that's awesome, Vito. What are you going to do for the 50th to top that off? He said, I think maybe I'll go back and pick her up. And so that's what I've been telling people. I took Jana to Rome, and for my 38th and for 50th, I'm going to go pick her up, you know. So, but it was an awesome time. And it really just, I would highly recommend a trip to Rome, just if you get a chance. And by the way, my son was on a bus tour, him and his family, at the same time. We left Sunday and they left Monday, and they were in the same areas that we were touring, some of the same cities by bus. And I thought it was kind of, he said something that I thought we struggle with, and talking about creation and blessing. I mean, knows this planet was created for you. It was created for you. I mean, God didn't need another galaxy or another planet. He created it for you to enjoy and to have fun. And so when I was talking to my son after he got back from their trip, I said, what do you think? And he said, well, you know, I said, what do you think about the Vatican? He said, well, you know, I thought, what, all that money and labor and expense, what, how many people they could have fed and all this kind of stuff. And then he said, and then we were in Capri, and he said, man, we was in Capri, Dad, and the Mediterranean is so beautiful, and these yachts, and there are little kids playing out there on the yachts. And I thought, I want a yacht. I'll never have a yacht. And I said, well, what about all those poor people? He said, well, I'm not the church. And I said, no, but you should have the same values as the church. How many knows really he is the church? We are the church. And so, you know, we kind of struggle with that, I think, sometimes. And that would be a part of this series is saying, what is it that we can do? You know, sometimes we think God has put us here just to be little missionaries and to evangelize our neighbor, and that's all a part. But you know, one of the greatest parts is just to enjoy the planet. When you look at the Bible, it says that God came down after He created all this beautiful earth. He came down just to walk and have a walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Just to walk and talk. It had no mission other than just to love on God and God to love on them and to fellowship with their Father. And how many knows that's a huge part of what God's called us to do? Just love on Him. And so I figured out God will go to Rome with you if you allow Him to go. He was there. And we had a great time and enjoying His planet and seeing all the history. In fact, I think the Vatican may be the place that, like, the before you ascend into heaven, you go to the Vatican and just get a glimpse of what glory is going to be like, and then you go right on up into heaven. Because it is awesome. I mean, it was a great time. So let's go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis. Everybody bring your Bible today? There's some good stuff. I was just up one morning, was on the ship, and I was waiting on Jan to get ready for the day, and I opened the book to Genesis, and I started looking at this. I thought, wow, this is some good stuff. And so I just began to build on it during our trip. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go, and I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1. And I'm going to camp sort of on the first few verses on this one. And then I want to look at being made in the image of God later on. And then maybe in another one I'll talk about the fruit. Because I noticed something in here that I never caught before about the fruit and how it came forth and what God did in the early stages. But it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now you notice, if we stop right there, what we have is God creates the heavens and the earth, but it says they were without form and void. Let me read you out. I just wrote down, this is how the Living Bible says it. Sometimes we think, well, that's not a very good translation. Some of them's living is a paraphrase, but this really nails it when it says the Living Bible, Genesis 1:1. When God began creating the heavens and the earth, verse 2, the earth was a shapeless, chaotic mass with the Spirit of God brooding over the dark vapors. And that's a really good description. If you study, like you just take a word study and begin to break everything down in the Hebrew, that's a really good translation of what was going on. It was a chaotic, shapeless mass with the Spirit of God brooding over it. And I've tried to picture this in my mind, but what I see is this. Maybe in fact, I almost did this just for a show, but I thought, it's probably too elementary, but just to have a big bowl with mud and water. And that was kind of the first, calling forth, if you will. When he's speaking the word, the world into existence, it would be like a big muddy fish bowl. And it's got mud and water and it's all mixed and it's a chaotic mass. And then evidently on the outside of this fishbowl would be another mist, water, if you will, surrounding that. And that was kind of a picture of what I saw as I began to try to imagine this water. Because he's going to give us a little glimpse in a minute of how he divides all this out and what it is and what he has to divide. But I noticed here, when God began to, and how many just really enjoys this planet we're on? Isn't this an awesome place to live? I mean, you know, we went out riding yesterday, first time we've got to ride since we've been back for a week, and we went out riding yesterday evening with some friends for a dinner ride, and man, the weather was just beautiful, just gorgeous, and we're just going down little country roads and enjoying the ride and the sun, and then coming home, you know, the weather at night was beautiful, and we just, the older we get, the more we enjoy the planet. In fact, used to, I can remember when I was younger thinking, you know, the old people go see the leaves change. I thought, that's all they want to do is see leaves change? How boring is that? I guess I'm an old people now because I like to see the leaves change. I enjoy the color. You know, we were driving home the other night, and I told Jana, I pointed, and she said, what? And I said, look at that. And the sun was shining, and there were some dark purple clouds just streaked across it, and the sun peeked through it in different places. And it's just gorgeous. And God created those sunsets for us. But when He started this planet, guess what He started with? A chaotic mass. How many says, well, if that's the case, I'm more like my father than I thought. I can create a chaotic mass. Come on, let me see your hands. Yeah, you're just like your daddy, aren't you? I can create a chaotic mass. I can do that as a pastor. I've done that for you all from time to time, you know. You know, unintentionally, of course, but we've had a few chaotic masses ourselves, haven't we, Randy? Yeah. Early in his time at Prayer Faith, he called me one time and said, he's a black belt. And I offended him. He called me and said, I'm a black belt in karate and you can't shut me up. That's what he told me one time. And I hadn't shut him up since. He's still talking. Yeah. That was his early walk, and I had offended him, and he was saying what was on his heart. And so I never forgot, I called him, and I told him how much I loved him and apologized. And see, here's the beauty. It's kind of like creation. That was a chaotic mass for us. But out of that has come the beauty of love of God. And so here's the first lesson I want to just kind of bring home today is, you know, there's always going to be that chaotic mass. And by the way, when you really study it, it says a undistinguishable ruin. That's what it was. When he first spoke this into existence, that's what this beautiful earth was, an undistinguishable ruin. That's what he started with. That's what God started with. And sometimes we can create that in our lives, and sometimes it just happens in our lives that there's this desolate, undistinguishable ruin, this chaotic mass that, you know, you don't know how it came about, you don't know how to fix it, but you have it. And so you got to do something with it, right? And so that's what God started with. And isn't it amazing? Doesn't that kind of blow your mind to think that God could have just spoke everything into existence at once? The stars, the moon, the earth, the water, all. He could have had all of this done by just speaking it in, because with God, what? All things are possible. So he didn't have to take these steps. I think he took steps so we could see that there's a step and a process, and as we grow in our spiritual life, it's a step and a process. You know, used to, I hated my enemies. I'll just be honest with you. Used to, I did. And now I don't have any enemies, because if I have one, I'll love them till they're not my enemy no more. Because God taught me you can change that kind of chaotic mess or mass into something beautiful through the power, the transforming power of this Word. And so now I don't have enemies. If you're my enemy, I don't know it. And it's not because I always say the right thing, because sometimes I don't. Another long-time member. Thank you very much for that timely laugh. And she's still here. She's still here. Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, I don't have that, because he taught me out of beautiful things. Sometimes it's a chaotic mass, it's an undistinguishable ruin, it's a desolation, and that's okay. How many? And when the Bible said it was hovering over, and the Living Bible said he was brooding over. When we think about brooding over, usually we think about, oh, stressing out, and oh, what are we going to do? And my picture was like a little mama chicken, you know, with all of her babies running around, and she's trying to gather them all up, make sure they're all safe from the eagles or, you know, coyotes or dogs or whatever. But that's not what it says. And if you go back and you look at this verse and study it out, it says he was brooding. It uses the word brooding, but it says to be relaxed. To be relaxed. And so here he is. He spoke into existence a chaotic mass, undistinguishable ruin, and he's brooding or hovering over it, but he's relaxed. Some of you need a life lesson in that area. You know what? When you're brooding, you can relax. When you're hovering and everything's not good, you can relax. When I got back into the States, I started calling some different leaders in different departments, and one of them was with Mark, and I called to see how things were going, and he's our treasurer, and he said, well, we're bankrupt, and they're going to foreclose on the church next so-and-so, you know. I said, really? He said, no, I just wanted to see if you're stressing out or if you're practicing what you preach to us about not stressing. That's my good friend Mark right there. I said, well, I'm still happy. I'm still happy. Because I realized something that I'll show you from the Word here in just a minute, that I love this place, and we helped found Prayer Faith with a group of you all. But you know what? Someday this building's going to burn. I mean, you know, Gary, you put up concrete structures, and the heat's going to be so fervent, so awesome, that they're going to burn. And that's kind of discouraging in a way, isn't it? But I tell you, if you go to Rome, you'll see that all these powerful structures that was built to last forever out of stone and marble and masonry and all that stuff, they're standing in just ruins and ashes and barely, some of them barely distinguishable. So we went to the city of Pompeii. Pompeii is one of the oldest cities in the world, and it was so neat. They had cobblestone streets that's still there, and they had some little houses, you know, just stone houses stacked next door to each other. And then they had stone beds in some of them where they had made beds with stone and stone pillow, you know, and so they still had concrete and brick back in our day. But then some of the houses, you'd walk down the street, and they would be bigger than this building. And they'd have gardens and pools, and the roof would come in when they had a roof on there like this, and they'd drain right to the pool and fill the pool for them and water their gardens. They had running water in Pompeii, one of the oldest cities in the world. They had running water, and then they found out that a lot of the reason that they were dying off was because of lead poison. They poured lead in to bring their water in from those aqueducts and brought it in, so lead poison. So it had problems, but here's what I know. All that was modern at one time. All that was new and fresh at one time, and now it lays in heaps. And everything that we stress over today, and we think, oh, it's so nice, and it's so new, and it's so, you know, we've been getting, in my neighborhood, almost everybody in my neighborhood's got a new roof. And we live in a pretty new neighborhood. You know, our houses aren't very old, but almost everyone in our neighborhood has got a new roof. Because some hail balls about this big around came and landed on our roof. But we stress over that stuff. We stress because, oh, it's stuff, and we got to work hard so we can take care of our stuff, and we brood over it, and God says, why don't you just get what you can afford and relax and enjoy the planet that I gave you to enjoy? Well, because I don't have what you have. I don't have what they have. My son says, I'll never have one of those yachts. My little kids will never know what it's like to play, so if I ever get filthy rich, I'm going to rent a yacht for a week for his little kids to play on. What do you desire? This is the planet that God created for you to enjoy. And so why don't you enjoy the planet that God gave you? This is the creation. And it started in a mass, chaotic mass, and now He's done great work. Let's look at it. It says, verse 3, then God said, and here's the first thing God did when He wanted to change a chaotic mass. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was what? Good. And God divided the light from the darkness and called the light day and called the darkness night. And so the evening and the morning were what? The first day. That's it. You got a chaotic mess that you can see and you're going to stop there on the first day? See, some of you couldn't do that, could you? Some of you got a chaotic mess, you just can't quit. You just can't stop there. You can't relax because you've got a chaotic mess. You can't figure this out. It's undistinguishable, so you can't stop there. You can't relax today. You can't finish the day with that. I'm going to stress myself to sleep if I have to, but I'm not stopping there. Years ago, I preached a message, don't worry, be happy. And in that little message, we did a song. Can anybody still remember that little song? That was years ago, and some people can still remember that little song. And here's what we sing. Don't worry, be happy in Jesus. Why would some little stupid song like that get down to your core? Because you need it. That's why. Because so many times we're stressing, we're not happy because life isn't what we thought it was going to be. There's a chaotic mass. Listen, we can learn from creation that, you know what? God turned on the light and He looked at the chaotic mass and said, that's all for today, boys. Let's pack it up. And I can see the angel scratching her head saying, we're leaving that today? That's it? Yeah, that's all today. Look at that mess we created today. We'll be back tomorrow. We've shed some light, so now we know what we have. How many knows? And here's the key. Here's what I want you to give you, the lesson from life creation. When we have a chaotic mass, the first thing we need to do is turn this on. How many knows this is a light? David, I wrote this down from the Living Bible because I thought, I've never heard it like this before, but you know the old Psalms 119 and 105? This is the Living Version. It says, your words are a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling. Your words are a flashlight to light the path ahead and keep me from stumbling. This is what the Word of God is. It's a flashlight to shine in. Whenever we were talking about Randy and I and we had this chaotic mass, that's the first thing we did together was we begin to shine the light and use the Word of God and use love language and love words instead of harsh words. And it knit us together as brothers with a lasting bond that'll be forever. And here's what I think. I think God allowed the chaotic mass to happen between us so we could create those bonds. I think God sometimes allows you to have a chaotic mass this undistinguishable thing. You can't figure out what's going on. Simply because, he says, if you will use the light of this word, it'll be better than ever, and you'll create bonds and relationships that you can't create any other way. Because somebody was totally opposed of you and your actions and deeds, and all of a sudden you're turning together and from that and coming back together again. How many's never had a crossword with your child? Most of our kids, from the time they can crawl, think their name is No-No, don't they? No-No, No-No, No-No. Do you love your child? Of course you do. I'll talk to you a little bit about this, because when He speaks, He gives commandments. And how many knows we call what He gave us to live by the 10 what? Commandments. And that doesn't really set well today, does it? Today in our society, I'm going to give you a commandment, okay? That's how we think of it. Jesus even goes a little farther. He said, hey, if you do what I tell you, I'll be your friend. Now, if I told you that, you probably wouldn't be my friend, but you'll be Jesus' friend. If you do what I tell you, you are my friend. So everything He's doing here, He's speaking, He's commanding, and the reason He can do that and get away with it is because when He speaks a commandment, it's life. It's from Him, it's from His heart, it's from who God is, it's from this Word. How many has ever told give your kids a commandment? Don't you go in that street, you hear me? Well, you awful parent, why do you do that? Get your hand out of the cookie jar. Stop choking your brother now. Everybody give commands like that to your children that you love? Anybody? Why would you tell that? Why don't you tell? Don't you go out next? Would you ever say this to your kids? Now listen, Aiden, if you would, Daddy would rather you didn't play in the street. But if you want to, you got a free will. Yeah. And you got a mama that will whoop you. You know, so we give commands. We don't ask our children, we give commands. And so God speaks and He commands. And He spoke light. He commanded it to come, and so He could see what He had. And I want to tell you something. We can have a chaotic mass, a desolate situation, and we can begin to speak this word over it and to pray the word over it and bring light to the situation. And it changes everything. And this is what I love about the Word of God. It changes everything before anything changes. You know what I mean? Have you got that far yet? It changes everything before anything is changed. What I mean is, I begin to say it, and I start to feel it after I say it. I begin to, you know, the relaxing comes. The from brooding and fretting to the relaxation comes before anything changes, because now I'm in alignment with God's Word, and all of a sudden this chaotic mass doesn't look the same anymore. I started a song right after we got back from vacation, and I just about got the verse complete, but it's, "You are changed. Another chapter, another page. You've experienced the joy and you've experienced the pain. You have changed. You have changed." That's the one key thing that I've noticed about everything. How many knows all this beautiful planet and everything that God created is going to change? It's going to change. Look over in Genesis, the 21st, Revelation, I'm sorry, the 21st chapter. And I was thinking, you know, God spent all this time on this beautiful planet and preparing this for us, and to know that, you know what? After he made all this change and He divided water and land and all this effort, and I'm not, you know, as far as theology, I'm not trying to, you know, stir your boat or anything, but I think maybe the day represents 1,000 years. I just think possibly that. So if you could imagine that, if that's true, it took Him 1,000 years just to create this chaotic mass with water and mud and speak light to it. To see the light come on, you know? and some of you think it's a literal day, then that's okay. You know, he just didn't share that with us, but I've got a scripture that kind of maybe shed a little light on that. But it would be like 6,000 years, and then the seventh year, he rested for 1,000 years. And then I think that ties into the millennial reign. You know, we're going to have the 1,000-year rest. And so I think that all ties in somehow. But in chapter 21 of Revelations, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Well, didn't God create this? Yeah, he created that out of a chaotic mass. And then he made it beautiful, and he had God put man on here to tend it and to keep it and take care of it. And then what did we do? We sinned, and we brought the sin system here, and destruction and decay now, and everything changed. Everything changed. And so he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth," and this is our future. This is, when I'm reading this today, this is our future. And how many knows you can take comfort in the fact that God is not through? You will get through your chaotic mass because God is not through, and here is your future. This is your future that I'm reading. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea." I think that's because all the Europeans went around nude on the beach. So no more sea. You know what he said? The sun is going to be darkened and there's going to be no more moon. How many knows the moon and the ocean has a direct link, the tide and all that stuff? And so he's going to be the light. And so there won't be sea and that connection with the moonlight, and there won't be a need for sun. In fact, I'm not so sure, and I'll give you this as an assignment to study this week, but look in the creation and see if there were plant and life on here before sunshine and moon and all the other atmosphere. You can see it in there, and I'm wondering if that doesn't, is the radiance of the Lord that he's going to use in this time frame, if that wasn't what was growing all the vegetables and the plant life and the trees. And just a little food for thought if you want to study that this week. And it said, "There was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared for who?" The bride. Who's the bride? You know, guys, the next time we go to the altar, we're going to be the bride too. So look pretty. The bride of Christ. Who's he preparing this new heaven and this new earth for? For you. The same people he created the old one for. The same people he restored the first one for. Remember the water that came and he flooded it and nothing was the same again? So he already redid once with water. Now he's going to come a second time and redo with fire because of you. Because he don't want to lose relationship with you and me. I mean, knows God pursues us. God loves us. And he gave us all this to enjoy, to have a blessing and to be a blessing. And to enjoy the planet. You know, when you see the kids playing out in the dirt, they're worshiping God. They're celebrating God in the dirt that he gave them. Some of you say, well, our little kids worship a lot, you know. But that's what he said. He wanted you to, he gave us this to enjoy and to be fulfilled and be blessed. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, be their God." And here's the key. I love this. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Everybody that's experienced death, and the loved one that you love, or kids, or parents, or spouse, or close friend, or whomever that you, you know, just, it, never again. When we get to this new heaven and this new earth, never again. Listen, here's another lesson I want to give you. Maybe some kind of chaotic mess or mass or whatever, you brought life to it, and all of a sudden, just to figure out it changed again, or it's dead again. Listen, God experienced the same thing in creation. He creates this for us, and all of a sudden the sin is so rampant and the evil and wickedness is so rampant in the earth, he has to flood it and start all over. And by the grace of God, he did. One family, can you imagine what it would be like? We think the pressure's hard now. Can you imagine being the only righteous family on the planet earth and still living and still having that righteousness and God saving the planet through you? When you think the pressure's too great, just remember Brother Noah. and give him a attaboy. Because we're here today because Noah said, I won't yield to wickedness. And so here he is again, and he's starting over again, and he's going to wipe away every tear, and there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. He says, then he who sat on the throne, behold, I'll make all things new. Listen, no matter what you're going through, someday he's going to make it all new. It's not going to last forever. You think it is, but I'm telling you, it's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. Anytime we fly anywhere now, I am not afraid. I don't care what. On the last night on our ship coming home, we had some huge waves. Captain told us, get ready for some rough waves. We're out in the middle of the Mediterranean coming home, and we're hours and from shore, and I'm just sleeping, except for when it would jolt and wake me up. Because I thought, I'm going home. I'm going to Oklahoma home or heaven home. I'm going home. I just got such an assurance that God is in control, and I'm just going home. So we just slept well. People get up the next morning, oh, how'd you sleep? We slept well, except for when it'd shake us in the bed, you know, and really, oh, we're sick, and I thought, well, you know, we just, this ain't it. If the boat goes down, I'd rather drown than burn. Just thought. of course, I've never drowned, so I might change my mind, but. He said, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these words. They're true. They're true. And they're faithful. God's word is true and it's faithful. He will make all things new for you. That is true and that is faithful. God will make everything new for you that is true and faithful. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, ain't scared. Because God is true and faithful. And He'll make it all new for you. No more death, no more dying, no more sickness, no more tears. Some of you moms and dads have shed buckets of tears. No more. Junior made it because you prayed him into heaven and now he's going to be your servant forever. I don't know. I just made that one up. I don't know. He said to me, verse 6, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So he's going to make light and blessing out of mess one more time. Now, let me give you a final chapter here. Look at 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter and we'll close with this. 2 Peter chapter 3. And he just weaves this stuff in and out, the Scripture. It's amazing to me. Actually, I lied. I want to give you one more Scripture. I didn't lie, I forgot. Beloved, 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us. The commandments of us. The word commandment again. The apostles and of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Scoffers will come in the last days. I don't know why everybody's just picking on me. A friend of mine told me yesterday he was coming home and he was trying to get out on I-40 on Choctaw Road where it comes together there before you get to Choctaw, 240 and I-40. And so he's coming around and he said they're all a bunch of cars in this lane, so he's trying to get around them before they have to mesh into one lane. And somebody up front just keeps coming over. And he says, he's got a lot of room, but he don't want me to come around, so he keeps coming over. He said, I'm just hugging the line, and finally he scrapes his mirror on his truck. And my friend is he likes to scrap. and probably a little bit too much. But he scraped his truck, so they pulled off to him, pulled over, and they exchanged some words, and he says, I tell you what, he said, why don't you just meet me down here at Choctaw? There's a little gravel area here and we'll just settle this up. Because they called him some names and stuff. He said, I'm just trying to get around and you kept pulling over my lane and I was going to go on around you and you hit my truck. And the guy wouldn't, and it's just profanity and calling him names. And so he says, we'll just settle it up. How many knows? He said scoffers and mockers, they're going to be here. Just expect it. Because that's where they are. That's where they live. And when you encroach on their property or their space, they're gonna come at you. They're here. He said, don't think this is something strange. But what I like to see is something different from what my friend did and say, you know what? To shed light on it instead of doing this. To shed light on it. So I told my friend, I said, I just heard a story about a guy that got in a fight with another gentleman and just a fist fight. Hit him, knocked him to the ground, and it killed him. He got 11 years. Yeah. I mean, those lights, settling with lights a lot better. But they're always going to be here, the scoffers, the mockers. And they're walking according to their own lust, saying, where's the promise? They're walking in darkness. They don't have light. And so, you know, keep that in mind when there's this chaotic mass and it's caused by people with no light. That's why Jesus could look out from the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He knew exactly where they were. The light was on in his heart and mine. It was off in the crowds, and so he's praying what needed to be prayed, seeing what needs to be said, and goes through the blessings of God and now seated at the right hand of God. Relaxed. Relaxed. Skip on down to verse 7. I want to show you so we can get finished. It says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, and are reserved for the fire. They're reserved for fire. God's word is the only thing that. And by the way, when you hear about nuclear war and you know North Korea, whoever getting nuclear power and destroying this planet, God's going to destroy this planet. God's going to have the final say so, and He's still in charge. So you know, don't stress out about that, and don't stress your kids. And if they come to you with that kind of stuff, say, "Honey, God's in charge. God's going to redo this planet at the appointed time and we'll be safe. We'll be okay." You know, give them that light. And he said, they're reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this. One thing that with the Lord is, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. And that's kind of where I connect there. That maybe the first day was 1,000 years, second day was another 1,000. And that would explain a lot about creation, I think. And in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. That means a whistling crash. That's what it says when you look it up in the Greek. And the elements will melt with a fervent heat, both the earth And the works. How many knows that's why the most important thing on the planet is not what we build or have. The most important thing on the planet is you and our relationship to each other. We are the only things on the planet that has eternal value. And we'll spend eternity together or not if you reject Christ. But it's all going to burn. He's bringing it apart. This is after he made it beautiful and put it in order and all this stuff, it's going to change. And that's. And I'll just wait till next week and we'll pick up on that with the next verse and I will close there. But what I want you to get from this today is this. You know what? There's always going to be that chaotic mass, that thing around you that's undiscernible. You don't know why it's happening. But the first thing God did was bring light. And to bring light to that. Don't bring your opinions. Don't bring your feelings. It's hard not to bring your feelings. But bring the Word of God. Let the light of God's Word put things in perspective. Because if we don't, our mind's going to think something. And I've seen so many people be in a chaotic mass and all of a sudden they just veer off from God and the Word because they allow feelings and what they think and what they the hurt that they're enduring. Motivate them and run their lives instead of the light of God's Word. I'm telling you, and if you're in a battle right now and you're battling something, bring the light of God's Word to it. Just open this up, just like I did and when we were in port in Italy and say, God, what are you wanting to say today? And it just became life to me about the creation, how he did this and where he started. And I'd never even seen that before. First day, all he had was a chaotic mess that he could see. You know, I mean, I thought, wow, he stopped there and he was relaxed. Why was he relaxed? Because his spirit was hovering. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God is still hovering right where you are. He's still hovering right where you are if you'll allow Him to be your presence and your light. He's there. And He wants to be that peace and comfort for you. And He wants to turn the light on for you through His Word so that you don't have to walk in the chaotic mass anymore. Father, thank You for Your Word today and giving us peace and comfort. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful planet that You've made for us to explore and discover and enjoy. You've given us a place to live and water to drink, food to eat, and sunshine and rain, and the moon and the clouds. And You've given us rest. You give us the ability to create and produce. You've given us the ability to communicate and love on each other and have a personal relationship with You through Jesus Christ. This is an awesome place. But today, Lord, probably in the sound of my voice, there are those that are struggling with the chaotic mass today. They can't understand why it's happening to them and why they're going through and why this is, you know, why the hurt and why the anger and why the whatever it is they're going through today. And I pray today that You'll let them sense Your Spirit hovering over their situation today in Jesus' name. That You'll come, Holy Spirit, and just let them feel Your power and Your presence again. You let them feel that same power that brought all that chaotic mass into this beautiful earth and atmosphere and galaxy that we enjoy. You let them feel that same kind of peace and power from the Father because He's still here and He's still hovering. Today, I just challenge you to reach out right now and say, God, turn on the light. Let me see You in this mess. Let me see You in this hurt. Let me see what really is. That my future is secure. May not be just like I want it right now, but my future is secure. We just read in the Word where it's secure. And so we ask in Jesus' name that You would bring that today to our brothers and sisters that may be hurting and struggling and battling today. And for all of us that will battle in the future, Lord, we ask You to meet us there. Meet us there, Lord, and help us to turn the light on. And stop battling in the flesh and stop battling in the mind. And begin battling in the Spirit. And to find the light and the peace and the direction of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that You show us in Your Word today that You can start with a chaotic mass and turn it into something beautiful. We believe that same thing is true for us today, that You can take our mess and turn it into something beautiful. We ask You to do that, Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, bless those that are struggling. Bless those that maybe have plenty, but they just feel like they've been cheated or robbed of something. And they feel a void. And I ask You to help us to take our focus and put it on what we have and to be content so we can begin to enjoy right where we are. You may take us to another level or two or ten until we reach our full potential and give out and be everything that we should be. But right now, to help each one of us to enjoy right where we are on this beautiful planet that You've created. Today, to say, this is a day the Lord hath made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, right today, with everything going on, today, this is the day that You have made. And we will enjoy this day through the power and the help of the Holy Spirit.